Good morning, brethren. A very happy and wonderful day. Today is the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Thankfully, it's not Passover. What did he say it was? Feast of Tabernacles. And also, thankfully, it's not Atonement, because we're going to have lunch together, too. So it's good that we're here together to be praising God and worshiping Him. And also, Father, it's so wonderful that this is important, this last day of Unleavened Bread, that it's picturing God taking Israel completely out of Egypt, as we read in the Bible. It's an incredible time in history. And because we are here together, how often have we said, if I lived at such a time in life, that it would have been easier to have seen what had been going on? Because what we're looking back to now today of what was going on in Israel, all the miracles of the Exodus that had taken place, and all of Israel's mistakes that they made during this time. And even, brethren, only 120 people later on, when Christ died, were left after he died. So there are so many things that were happening in the past that we look back at and wonder, how often, if we had lived at such a time, would it have been easier for us? But yet, but the reality, brethren, is that we are in the same position now as everyone has ever been throughout history in their lives. Yet how will we react when we see the things that happened to other people in the past, and even things in our past lives? Will we have learned the lessons, or do we have to go through these things again, the sufferings again? This special festival, brethren, shows that we need to have the faith to trust that only God can free us and give us what we need to go on. So we have to ask, are we willing to let God do this in our lives? Are we holding on to our human nature and not letting Him do these things? God was not pleased with ancient Israel, and only a few of the originals that were there went into the promised land, in spite of all that they went through and saw. So there is a quality that we need to have if we're to continue on after the Feast of Unleavened Bread in our lives going in the future. Again, Israel's example was that they lacked the faith to trust in God to move forward. In spite of all that they had those years, they did not have the faith to listen and follow His instruction. So the question for us, brethren, is how can we have the faith to continue going forward? And that's the topic of the sermon today, lasting faith to go forward. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus had said, "When the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth?" So the question for us is, brethren, do we have only moments of faith in our life? That yes, we have faith, but is it every day, all day, that we are trusting God for everything? Matthew chapter 14, Jesus also says, "O ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" So He's talking to the people that are there with Him, like He's telling us as we're reading it. Are we of little faith and have doubt of what He is saying to us? So even after surviving, brethren, 10 plagues, God knew that Israel would not be willing to follow and obey Him because they were not yet believing, but yet were doubting. Were doubting Him. They weren't truly on board with Him. Turn to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. God brought them to follow and trust in His help to be released from a trap of bondage. Exodus 5. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. It says here that afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and they told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So here we see God is showing us that we can't just stay in sin and worship God. We've got to come out from that to worship Him. Just like He told Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they will go to keep my feast in the wilderness." Outside of where the sin is. Also, we cannot have two masters, worshiping and serving God and worshiping Satan and the influence that he's had in our life all these years. God had to take them out of Egypt. They were not going to go voluntarily leaving. God had to make sure that he was providing for them that they could leave. God did not give them Egypt as a land. We think, well, God could have come in, destroyed all of Egypt, and let them stay there, and he would have had his own people stay there. No. God did not give them Egypt as a land. Yet it seemed like, to them, the logical thing to have done. Everything was set up. They knew the ways of the land. They were there 430 years. So on the outward, it looked like the right way, the right place to be. So from the physical perspective, they would have thought, like we might look at things, that it would be okay to do that. Turn over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And in verse 11, Exodus 14, verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Verse 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die here in the wilderness. Wow, they didn't have a very good attitude about how God, what God was doing then, for they were in bondage for 400 years, and they thought it was okay. They didn't see how bad it was. Now, certainly many did, because they were crying to God and asking for help, but how many did not see that and want to stay there? So Israel did not realize what they had been freed from as that bondage. They wanted to go back where they felt comfortable. And although they were suffering their bondage, they had a comfort zone. And they were used to coping with their situation and were doing it on their own power. They were dealing with that all those years. They were able to tolerate what was going on. They didn't want to let God do it. They wanted to hold on to be in control. Not that they had control, because, brethren, we also like to think that we're in control. But we don't have control. We are being manipulated by things in our life. How comfortably are we in holding on to the weaknesses of sin in our life, the way they were holding on? Thinking, well, it's not that bad, I can handle it. Going on in verse 13, Moses said to the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. He's going to take them out of bondage. They won't be there. Brethren, God has done that with us. He's taken us out of bondage when Christ died, sacrificed his life for us, that we were able now to be freed from the bondage of sin. Is our attitude the way God wants it to be? Or are we like Israel, how they had their mindset? So he shows a new time for us to be cleaned up and going forward, growing and overcoming with that ability that he's given us. The lesson of this is that only the power of God can we come out of sin. It's only by God's power. This is not something we can do on our own. And Passover and the unleavened bread started that process for us to keep going. You don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 2 and in verse 8, it says, by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. So again, brethren, he's telling us here that we are saved through faith, not by ourselves, and also that it is a gift from God. So God has provided us with a gift in that way. Without faith, we're not able to continue on or to grow and overcome. So we need faith to trust God that only he will free us and guide us to be successfully overcoming things. Now, very often people will try on their own with limited success. There are many people that have done good things in their lives where they had maybe an addiction, alcohol or something else, and they were able to overcome it. But it might have been with limited success, where later on, back again to the addiction or the problem that we were going through, whatever the sin was that we were committing and then gave up at time. So faith is based on continuous relationship between you and God. That is how faith is. That's the basis of it. It's a track record of trust and experiencing God living his life in us. having that mindset. That's why we have that faith, because it's reminding us and keeping it there every day. Just like we eat the unleavened bread every day of this week, we're reminding ourselves of what is in us. That is Christ living in us, who is himself unleavened. So we're keeping that track record of God living his life in us. So what does that mean? We're not to be looking at the physical things, brethren, because the physical things are not going to work for our ability. One hindrance to faith is the fact that the world around us is so real. It's distracting, with family problems, or we have real pain or sicknesses that are real, or even bills that are real that are coming in the mail or whatever. Even though that's the case, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we won't have to turn there either. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So in spite of the things that we see happening around us, we're not to be focused on the physical things. We're to be focused on what's spiritually important. And this was Israel's mistake, because they walked by sight, not by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So when we are focusing on and putting our faith in God to be moving forward after we come out the end of this week and obey him and change our lives the way we're supposed to be, it's going to be eternal, not temporal, not temporary, where you may go back to it again in the wrong way and be disobeying God. Our minds are continually on the physical things that are not important. Exercising spiritual things are difficult, yet they're impossible without God. They're impossible without God. We won't have that. So to have faith to believe that God is in charge, we have to have the faith to believe God is in charge. Hebrews 11 in verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. He says here, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That has to be our mindset. We have to keep this in our mind, that faith is confidently knowing that God will do what he says he will do, and when he says that he will do it, not according to our timeline. He will let us know when we're to do that. Just like they waited 430 years to come out, that's when God allowed that to happen for them. In the final analysis, it was always with Israel, it was always God who led them to victory. They did not win their battles, God did. And he wins all of our battles in our life. But we must be convinced of it and do our part. So if we are completely convinced and convicted of God's truth, nothing can make us turn away from God. If we are convicted and convinced of his truth. And we won't have any doubt in our mind that God is not in charge, not doing it for us. So if we try to solve problems, overcome bad habits, or resist our own power and strength, we are doomed to defeat. So faith requires conviction, means being satisfied by evidence of what is true, meaning being convinced of God's instruction. Every one of us at times, brethren, has had some doubts. We want to believe that we think we believe, but we're not totally convinced. So there's a difference between believing and being convinced. Once you're convinced, you have passed the point of no return, and you can never go back again. So we need to see God in our lives and being convinced that we are going to continue forward by him leading us to a promised land of eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. He says here, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So when they were coming through the Red Sea, they were becoming completely free out of Egypt at that point, having the water on each side and the cloud of God being their presence above them, which is the same as we have in baptism, that God is over us when we are going through that baptism, being that water covering us. So God provided for them, and it was part of his plan for Israel. Verse 3, it says, and they did eat all the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that founded them, and that rock was Christ. Just as we did, brethren, last week when we began this holy day time and took Jesus Christ's body and blood and put it into us. Verse 5, But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these are the things which are for our examples, verse 6, to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they lusted. Neither be you idolaters as they were, some of them, as it is written, that people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to pray. Just like when Moses went up to get the commandments, they were worshiping the golden calf while they were waiting for Moses to come back and bring him commandments from God after all he did and provided for them to be there safely. No, they were going to now worship something else. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one of these, and fell in one day, 23,000 died. Numbers 25 and verse 9, it says that there were prostitutes at Baal at Mount Peor that they were worshiping at that time. Verse 9, he goes on here in 1 Corinthians 10, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. So 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness and complained of the manna and the difficulty that God had provided for them. So verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition or our instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So brethren, let's know that we have to make sure we are keeping faith in God's promises that he's made to us. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, we don't have to go there as we're concluding this message. He says here, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will be your strength for you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So we see here God has promised us to be taking care of us for all eternity. So this holy day feast, brethren, shows us that as Israel, God has freed us from the bondage of sin and this world, that everything that comes from God, whenever we have our long-lasting faith and belief, we will be able to go forward with that faith.